Today's daf is Vachin daf Samaches, and we will begin from the Mishnah on daf Samaches Amud Aleph, moving along in Perek Chatos Ha'Oif. So the topic of the last few dafin has been a korban that's not a zevach, but rather an oif. Chatos Ha'Oif, Oilas Ha'Oif, some of the differences between the hakrova of a Chatos Ha'Oif and an Oilas Ha'Oif. Now, one of the key characteristics of an oif is that although oifois chulin requires shchita, but oifois kachim required malika. So the first avoida that was done with an oif in the Beis HaMikdash was not shchita, rather it was malika. And there's a fundamental difference between shchita and malika, aside for the physical nature of it, and that is shchita. The Gemara says lav avodah, and as a result, shchita ksheira bizar. Shchita was not considered an avodah, as opposed to malika. Malika is an avodah, so that malika was something that required kahuna, bigdei kahuna. All the laws of avodah applied to malika, just like they did to kabbalah, haylacha, and tzrika. One of the chidushim of malika is that although ordinarily, in order to eat from an animal, you would need first to have a shchita, whether it's a behemoth or it's an oif, there would have to be shchita. Malika's kachim worked to be moitzi the oif midei nevela. So that once the Torah was mechadish, that in lieu of shchita, when it comes to kachim, you do malika, not only is that the seder avoida, but the malika is now going to be matah the oif lachila. So the kohanim were able to eat from the chatas oif, even though we never had a shchita. It's a very big chiddush that the malika of the chatas oif was moitzi the chatas midei nevela, and as a result, it was mutar b'achila. Additionally, there was no Tumas Nevela. And the topic of the last daf into today's daf is what would be if the Malika was done, but it was done in an Oifen of Psal. So it wasn't a Kosher Malika. So that's clear that as far as the Avodah goes, it's not going to be a Kosher Avodah. So if somebody's bringing an Oilas Oif to the Beis HaMikdash, and now Apostle did the Malika, being that Malika is an Avodah, Apostle that does Malika, the Malika is going to be Apostle. But do you say that being that Apostle did the Malika, it's not a Malika at all? As a result, we look at this oif now as if it's an Avela, or do we not look at it as if it's an Avela? L'may nafkimina, number one, if somebody would eat it, would he be over this an Avela? Number two, Tumas Nevela. Tumas Nevela, when it comes to an oif, has a very special oifen of Tumah. It's called Tumas Beis Ablia. And the question is, would there be the Tumas Beis Ablia? That's just a fancy way of saying, would you have Tumas Nevela for an oif that whose Malika was done in a way that it wasn't supposed to be done or not? That was a shtickle, the topic of the last two dafin. That's very much the topic of today's daf. Says the Mishnah, Kala psulin shemolkum likasam psula. Any apostle that does Malika, the Malika is going to be apostle. And the reason is, like we said before, because Malika is an avoida, a chiddush. Even though shchita lav avoida, and Malika is in lieu of shchita, Malika is an avoida. Stating that if apostle would do the malika, the oif now would not be viewed as an avela as it relates to Tumas Beis Ablia. And again, that's a chiddush, because you would think that if the malika is apostle, so what was moitzi it from nevela? So it should be metama bebeis ablia. Stating that taloch is that even though kol apsulin shemokum likasam psula, still ain't metama bebeis ablia. Malak besmoil, if the kohen did malika with his left hand, avoida has to be done with the right hand. Oy balayla, or he did malika at night, avoida has to be done during the day. Shachat chulim bifnim, or if a kohen shechted an oif that was chulin in the azara, or kachim bachotz, or he shechted, not malika, he did shchita with an oif kachim outside of the azara. All of these cases, einam mitamos beveis abli, even though the Shulchan Aruch wasn't followed. Apostle did the malika as opposed to a kosher. The malika was done with the left hand as opposed to the right hand. It was done at night as opposed to during the day. Someone shechted oif chulin in the azara. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to bring chulin in the azara. You're personally not supposed to shecht oif chulin in the azara. Or somebody shechted an oif kachim bachutz. That's two things wrong. Number one, kachim bachutz. Number two, it was shchita as opposed to malika. in all these cases, despite the fact that the wrong thing was done, so certainly you don't have an avoidic shera, but at the same time, it's not going to be mitama tumas place. It says the Mishnah, there's another list of malikas psulos where the halacha is that it's such a bad malika that it will be tami tumas place. What's that list? Malak besakin, if the malika was done besakin. So we had at the end of the sixth parak that malika had to be done. We all know this with the fingernail of the kayin. It had to be done begufay shel kayin. So malak besakin or malak chulin befnim. So not shachat chulin befnim, but somebody took an oif chulin, brought it into the azara, and he did malika with it. Vikachem bachos, or someone did malika with an oif kachem bachos. Again, the first part of the Mishnah was discussing shachat chulin befnim or shachat chulin kachem bachos. Here we're discussing malak chulin befnim or malak kachem bachos. Torah shleigia zmanam, or if somebody did malika with a tar that was too young, a tar had to be a certain age in order for it to be a kosher oif. As a carbon, ubnei yoina sha'afar zmanam, or ubnei yoina that was too old, sheyav shagapa, if one of the wings of the oif had dried out, shenismaseino, or it became blind, shenikta raglas, fuck. Was cut off. All these cases, metame bebeis habliya. What's the difference between the reisha and the seifa? The reisha is a list of cases where you didn't have a malika ksheira. The seifa is a list of cases where you didn't have a malika ksheira. In the reisha, we say that despite the fact that the malika wasn't kosher, still the halacha is, it's enough malika to say that the oif is not going to be tummy tumas nevela, it's not going to have tumas beis habliya. In the seifa, we say that being that the malika is possible, not only don't you have a malika ksheira, but you don't even have oif that had malika as it relates to tumas nevela, thus it will be tome tumas beis habliya. So what's the difference between the reisha and the seifa? So the Mishnah gives us a rule. Kol she psulei b'kodesh einu mitame b'beis habliya. The reisha is discussing psulin that are quote unquote psulei b'kodesh, and therefore they're not tome tumas beis habliya. Lo yehaya psulei b'kodesh. The seifa is discussing psulin that are not psulei b'kodesh. If they're not psulei b'kodesh, mitame b'beis habliya. So what does psulei b'kodesh mean? So take a look at the last Rashi of the Mishnah. So says Rashi, the first group were all psulim that happened in the Azara. Being that they came to the Azara behechsher, and the psul all took place in the Azara, it's for that reason we say that it's not such a starka psul, and therefore the halacha is that even though the malik is possible, but it's not going to be tamei tumas beis habliya. The seif is discussing psulim that happened not b'kodesh, before the oif came to the Azara, that psul is considered a bigger psul, and being that that psul is considered a bigger psul, it's for that reason, the halacha in those cases is that it's even going to be tameh tumas beis habliya. So two things. Number one, the Achrayim speak out that when Rashi says the definition of psula b'kodesh and ein psula b'kodesh is ba l'azara, loy ba l'azara, it's lav dafka. It doesn't mean ba b'azara or loy ba b'azara. Meaning, just take one example. Sheyav shagapa. That's one of the examples that we have in the Sefer, where the wing dried out. The wing of the oif becoming a mum, although it could have happened outside of the Azara, it's not an Azara de Gipsol, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen outside the Azara, and that's pashut. If it would be Yav Shagapa in the Azara, it would still be considered a psul that's not psul b'kodesh. What the Mishnah means is a psul that would have to happen in the Azara versus a psul that doesn't necessarily have to happen in the Azara. So Malak Balayla, being that the Makim of Malika is in the Azara, so that's considered a psul of psul b'kodesh. Malak Psulin is considered a psul that's psul b'kodesh. Why? Because where is that going to happen? It's naturally going to happen in the Azara. It's an Azara digger sort psul, as opposed to Yav Shagapa Nismas Eino, even though these are psulim that technically could happen in the Azara, but they're not necessarily unique to the Azara in that they can very easily have happened outside of the Azara. And being that they could have very easily happened outside of the Azara, they're looked at as Ein Psulei B'Kodesh. That's the first comment you have to make on the Mishnah. Second comment that you have to make on the Mishnah is that if you go through the list, it really doesn't work. Because there are examples in the Reisha that would seem to be Ein Psulei B'Kodesh, and there are examples of the Seifa that would seem to be Psulei B'Kodesh. Just to list one, Kachem Bachutz. That's Psulei B'Kodesh. That didn't happen in the Azara. Kachem Bachutz, by definition, happened outside of the Azara. If somebody shecht oif Kachem Bachutz, the Mishnah says it's not metame tumas beis habliya. Why? Because it's psulei b'kodesh? Because the psul happened in the Azara? By definition, it's Kachem Bachutz. Chutz means outside of the Azara. So how does that work with the klal of the Mishnah? An example in the Sefer would be Malak Besakin. Malak Besakin or Malak Chulim B'Fnim. Right? Clearly, it happened in the Azara. So how could you tell me that Molak B'Sakin is named Psula B'Kodesh? What's the difference if you were Molak B'Smoil, Molak B'Layla, that's considered Psula B'Kodesh, or Molak B'Sakin, that would be considered a Psula B'Kodesh? So there are exceptions, and the reason that in those cases the halacha is either Metame Tumas Beis Abli or a Metame Tumas Beis Abli, respectively, is going to be discussed more in tomorrow's daf. But in terms of the Havana of the Mishnah, and that's important in terms of Pshat Hava, it's the Lamdas and the Pshat all wrapped in one. So sometimes the Lamdas is actually the Pshat. So Pash of Pshat in the Mishnah, who cares if it's Psula B'Kodesh or a Psula B'Kodesh? So really, in order to understand that, we have to refamiliarize ourselves with halacha ibn alu lo yerdu. So one of the most kishmaka, if not the most kishmaka perik in the Masechta Zvachim, is the ninth perik. It's perik Mizbeach Mekadesh, Daf Pei Gimel. The truth is, from Daf Pei Gimel to the end of the Masechta, smooth sailing, Bezrat Hashem. It's kishmak, hashtag raid, a lot of fun sugyas. But it starts really Daf Pei Gimel Amid Aleph. You have a few hurdles to get over between now and then. But that already will be self-evident. But from that Pei Gimel on, so you have Perek Mizbeach Mekadesh. What does Perek Mizbeach Mekadesh discuss? It discusses a carbon that was possible. A carbon whose emurim were not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach. A carbon whose dam wasn't allowed to be put on the Mizbeach. So if you have a carbon that's possible, for example, Nishbach, Dam, or the Shechita was done by Laila, there was something wrong with the carbon, so you're not makhtu the emurim. What happens if the emurim ended up on the Mizbeach anyways? So there's halacha of him, alu, lo yerdu. Once the emurim go on the Mizbeach, lo yerdu. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. There are times where, if something's possible, it's a malu yerdu. So some psulim are malu yerdu, some psulim are malu lo yerdu. One of the rules that are important in the sugi of Amalu Lo Yerdu is Kol She Psulei Bakoidesh Amalu Lo Yerdu. Kol She Ein Psulei Bakoidesh Amalu Yerdu. In other words, the psulim of Psulei Bakoidesh, even though they're pasul, but they're considered a lesser psul. You know why? Because Talach is Amalu Lo Yerdu. What's the lumdus? The lumdus is that it's true Nishchata Balayla or Nimlaka Balayla, what we're discussing right now is the Malika Psula. But what would be right now if the Malika was done by Laila, and now the Kohen took the oif and he put it on the Mizbeach. The halacha would be in Malu Lo Yerdu. So as much as it's true the Malika was a Malika Psula, but on some level it's a Malika Kshera. V'horaya in Malu Lo Yerdu. And by the way, level 2, the Yisoid of a Malu Lo Yerdu is not. It's not let it go on the Mizbeach. Once it touches the Mizbeach, alright, we'll leave it there. No. If it's not let it be on the Mizbeach, the halacha would be a Malu Yerdu. The Yisoid of a Malu Lo Yerdu is, it's a Haktara. There's a Haktara Mechudeshes of a Malu Lo Yerdu. That's the first vart in Perek HaMizbeach Mekadesh that the Brisker Rav was Medayik and Rashi. A Malu Lo Yerdu is a Din Haktara. That means even though the Malika was a Malika Psula, and you're right, once that Malika was done by Laila, for example, there's no way to go and fear us now a kosher avoda, but there is a hakrov of psula, an hakrov of a malu lo yerdu that could be done with this oila saif. When is that true? When it's psule bakoidish. Oh, but so when it's psule bakoidish, as much as the malika was possible, on some level, there is some tachlis of this malika, it's for that reason it's not going to be metame, tumas beis abluya. Where it's ain't psule bakoidish, so there, it's not a malika at all. Because ain't psule bakoidish, it's a malu yerdu. So it's not a malika ksheira, it's also not a malika psula with regards to the law of a malu lo yerdu, as was the shkai malika. It's not a malika. There's no reason not to view this oif as a regular oif tameh, and that's why the halacha is it is going to be metame tumas beis abliya. But before we start the gemara, it's a short daf. So before we start the gemara, just one ha'ara. So one of the psulim that were mentioned in the Mishnah was malak besakin, and the truth is we already had this idea of malak besakin in the end of the sixth perek. The Gemara said that even though shchit is done with a sakin, and you would have thought that if shchit is done with a sakin, which is lav avoida, he's certainly malika, which is an avoida, should have a halach of sakin, but it was learned out from a pasuk that it's supposed to be done ba'atzmai shal koyin. So the way malika was done, it was done with the fingernail of the koyin. It was something that had to be done ba'atzmai shal koyin. I'll tell you something interesting. The Ramban, in the end of Parashas Yisroi, so he's discussing over there the pasuk in the Torah that says that the mizbeach avonim tasali lo sivne esem gozes ki charbecha heinafto aleha vachechal aleha. It was very important that the mizbeach be made of avonim shlemos. It couldn't be made of stones that it ever come in contact with a cheref, that it ever come in contact with a knife or with a sword of some sorts. And the Ramban brings a pshat from Ibn Ezra and from the Rambam, And then he offers his own pshat. Why is this terrible kpeda that the mizbeach isn't allowed to come in contact with the sword? And he says that a cherev is miloshin churban. And the mizbeach, of course, was a dover that was made in shalom. So says the Ramban that the mizbeach, the makam hamikdash, which is all about shalom, yitochin, that it should come in contact with a sword, miloshin churban, that brings churban b'olam. And it's very nice pshat. That's what the Ramban prefers in terms of all the different pshatim that he brings. Why it is that you have this hakpod of leisivne esem gazes ki charbecha hinafta leva tchalala. Then the Ramban says that the truth is, if you think about it for a minute, there was no barzel to be found whatsoever in the Makom HaMikdash. They never used barzel. Barzel in English translates as iron. There was no iron. There was no barzel used. You had kesef, you had zov, you had mechoshes, but barzel you didn't have. And he says, even though there were times where it would have actually made more sense to use barzel over some of the other materials that were used. Read you one excerpt from the Rabban and the Parashas Yisroel. Umepnei zeh lo yhoye b'mishkan barzel, ki gam yisei doisov, the pegs that were used to keep the curtains down. It would have made sense had they been made out of barzel. Instead, they made them out of nechoshes. Why did they make it out of nechoshes? Because even though the ikur iser lovely sivna esem gazes, was regarding the avonim of the mizbeach, but the chachamim, the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Betzal, they took it a step further. They did not want barzel to come anywhere near the makom hamikdash. Says Raman, there was one exception. There was one piece of barzel in the entire Mishkan Beis Hamikdash. You know what that was? Bilvad hasakinim, the knives that was used for shechita, says Ramban. But don't worry about that. Ki shechita ein avoida, because the meisa shechita is a shechita schulin anyways. I mean, the shechita lav avoidi. So it's interesting. The yesedos of the oil moye, that couldn't be barzel, but the sakin that was used for shechita, shechita lav avoidi. I think it's poshut back of the envelope arithmetic. That's why malika couldn't be done with a sakin, because malika is an avoida. So if malika is an avoida, you're not allowed to have a sakin. Dafka shechita, which is ein avoida. So says the Ramban. Milvada sakinim ki shechita ein avoida. It doesn't bother me that it's going to be used with barzel. Malika, which is an avoida, it couldn't have been used with barzel. But regardless, me'inyan le'inyan, shalei ba'is le'inyan. Digress a little bit as it relates to this. I'll tell you something fascinating. Rabbi Yaakov Eplinger, the Baal Aruch Lener, in his Binyan Tzion, in Simen Peches, was sent to Shaila about a patent that a doctor in Paris had invented. And the question was posed to Rabbi Yaakov Eplinger, is this patent something that us in the Heimische Kreisen can incorporate or not? What's the background? So we know that the mitzvah of Mila is made up of two parts. There's Mila and Priya. Mila is the Chatichas Arla, the Mayel gums, and removes the Arla that every boy is born with. After the Arla is taken off, the Mayel then takes his fingernail and he removes a layer of skin that was beneath the Arla on top of the gid. He removes it, he pushes it back almost like you would roll up a sleeve. It stays there and it ends up, you know, staying on the gid and eventually takes some sort of form as the child gets older. But, and they're two independent, distinct parts of the mitzvah Mila. Mila itself is the chatichas arla, that's the removal of the arla that gets completely removed from the gid. And then afterwards, to further expose the gid, so to speak, the mayel is gonna remove this layer of skin. He doesn't completely remove it, but he rolls it up. It stays on the gid, and the yisoid of it is that even though that layer of skin is not arla, because if it was arla, it would have to be removed, but he's furthering the gid, so to speak, from the arla and further exposing the gid to show that this child is not an arla. Priya is equally as important as Mila. The Mishnah says in the end of paragraph, Leza, the Mila, Mo, Veloi, Para, Kilo, Loi, Mo. So there's, you have to do the Mila, you have to do the Priya, they're both equally important. Now, the Minig Yisrael has been to do Priya with the fingernail. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Hilchas Mila, it's Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, where he discusses the Halacha of Mila, says the Rambam, Ketzad Mayal, in Chaytchen es kol ha'or ha'choyfes ha'atara, you cut off the entire or that covers the atara, anshe tiskala kol ha'atara, va'achakach poirin es ha'krum ha'rach shalamata min ha'or, bitzi poirin. Afterwards, the Mayal takes his fingernail and he removes that krum harach, that membrane, that layer of skin. Umachzira lekan ulekan ad sheyira basa atara va'achakach moitzet samila sheyetz adam mekemes rechaykin k'tei shelavu yodei asachar. So the Minhag Yisrael always was to do Priya with a fingernail. There was this doctor in Paris that came up, he invented a tool, a utensil, that would do Priya, and the Shaila was asked, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, is that okay? I mean, is there a kpeda to do Priya dafka with a tzipayrin, or could it be done with a keli also? And the thought was, is that we know what Priya is trying to accomplish, you're trying to scale back that layer of skin, and this doctor had created something that was actually going to do a better job than the old-fashioned way of doing it with a fingernail, thus giving the shayla. So it's interesting, number one, the way Rav Yaakov Ettlinger begins the shayla, he says, you know, recently there was a big tumult where people, they want to be mevatel the mitzvah of mitzitza v'peh. And he says, va'ato davar chadosh, now they're taking it to the next level, they're up the ante. Not only do they want to be meshana the way mitzitza was done, but now I've heard about a doctor in Paris who wants to even change the way priya been done. He wants to do Priya with a keli, as opposed to being doing Priya with a tzipayrin. So he begins the Shaila discussing, is there any halachic reason to dafka do it with a tzipayrin or not? So he says, the emes is based on the raw halacha, I don't have any makar. The Rambam says it, I don't have a makar. But two things that Ashenegel and Yenenu. Number one, he says, we know Minhag Yisrael Torah. And the emes is so much of what we do is based on Torah Shebaal Peh. It's based on a Messiah that we have dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, can you prove to me that when the Torah says, it means an esrig? So you're going to show me a Gemara, a Lulav HaGazel, you're going to narrow it down to certain types of fruits. But that it's an esrig, you won't be able to prove. Nor of us, we have a Messiah. The Messiah is that our father took Esraigim, the Zaydas, the Elta Zaydas, the Babas, everybody, presumably dating back to Maish Rabbeinu. That's Messiah. Shalavicha v'yageitcha. And being that our Messiah is that we use an Esrig, so that's why today if somebody would take something other than an Esrig, Goyarim boy, how could you take something other than an Esrig? So he says, Mehai time, it's the same thing. He says, and the truth is, every single mitzvah has nuances of it that you can't necessarily prove in halacha. But it's based on Messiah, it's based on Teresh Shabbat Peh. So he says, it's Pashit, if the Minhag Yisrael, the Rambam brings it to Shulchan Aruch, brings it was to do Priya with a tzipayrin. Mistamut, this is the way it was done, dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Emes says the mitzvah Priya was given to Yeshua ben Nun, but dating back to Yeshua ben Nun. So the bottom line is that even though I can't prove it to you in halacha, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the way it's supposed to do. No less that even though I can't prove to you that Priya, it's others an asterisk. That's what he said. It, we know is an asterisk. But he says, besides, I'm going to find you a makar. You want a makar? I found you a makar. And it's a Yalkit Shemoyne. Listen to this. In Tehillim. It's on the pasuk Kol Atzmoisei Termarna Hashem Micha Moicha. Omar David, David HaMelech said, Kol Atzmoisei Termarna. I shuckled, right? But more than that, B'chol Eivar, Ani Meshabeichecha B'chol Eivar Mekayim B'mitzvahs. David HaMelech turns to Hashem, he says, I use all my Eivar, every single Eivar that you created me with, I use for mitzvahs. B'roishi, Ani Roifavay B'kayir B'tfilas, I shuckle with my top. B'sayris Roishi, with my hair, which mitzvahs he Mekayim, Loisakifu Pas Roishcha. Tfilin ani mariach, ani maniach b'roishi. B'tzavori, what do I do on my tzavor? I put on tzitzis. With my eyes, uri isim oisoi. B'fi, what do I do with my mouth? Tehilas Hashem yedab b'fi. B'svasai, says David HaMelech, what do I do? Tivana svasai tehilo. With my beard, leisashcha says paskoncha. B'lishoini, u'lishoini tegat tzidkecha. What do I do with my lave? B'libi tzofanti emrasecha. Tracht and learning. B'chaza, that's the tzitzis that I put on. Kinegat alev. He says, my right hand, ani koisiv. My left hand, I put on tefillin. David Melch was a righty. What do I do with my fingernails? Lasses ben priya. I do priya. Oy, malika sa'if. And I do malika sa'if. Oy, shneyem yachad. Or both. Ubayen, listakular levana. I also look at my fingers when it comes to Abdullah. Meyai, I'm skipping a little bit. Teiroschos besaych meyai. Regel yamin, my right hand, chalitza. Regel smile, koidim l'sholish psias, achrat fila. When I go back, sholish psias, first my left and my right. Kriya, kriyam, what I do with my knees. Kriyas berkayim betfila. Hagid, mitzvahs milo priya. The gid is milo priya. Berkayim, my knees again. And he oises sandik, slik yulodim. I'm sandik, b'shas milo priya. The kachnem akolats moise temar nashem michamoich. Beautiful medrash. Says Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, one of the things David HaMelech said was tzipayrin. I use my fingernails. Two mitzvahs. What do I do with my fingernails? Number one, I do malika. And number two, I do priya. Says Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger,
Pornai when it comes to Malika's Ma'akid. Dosa Mishnah. Malach Besakin is possible. So Malach Besakin is possible. It's even Matamu Tumas Besablir. So that is going to be possible. So if the fingernail is Li'ikuva when it comes to Malika, so doesn't it make sense that the fingernail should be Li'ikuva as well when it comes to Priya? So even though it's not a Mefurish of Makar maybe, but it's a Gans Fine of Makar, Abba Yalkit Shemaini, that puts fingernails with regards to Priya and Malika, Bichoda Machta, and when it comes to Malika, it is Ma'akiv. That's our Mishnah, Malak Pesachin is possible. So when it comes to Priya, it should be, when it comes to Priya, it should be Ma'akiv as well. And then says, Rabbi Yaakov, you're going to tell me, it's a Medrash, this is your Makar. So he says, I want to ask you something. He says, you know what the Makar to Sandakai says? Everybody goes crazy about something. It's a mikveh. The Sandak to Ramah says, it's more chashiv. It comes from a Darkei Moshe. Ramah wrote a Pirish on the Torah, Darkei Moshe, that's where it comes from. You know where the Darkei Moshe got it from? He got it from Agoyis Maimini. You know where that Agoyis Maimini got it from? He got it from this medrash right here. That Agoyis Maimini is in the end of the third parak in Hilchas Mila. It's at the very, very end of Hilchas Mila. I'll read it to you. It says that Agoyis Maimini had umesavin. Mashachimdim umesavin. People, they really want this. There's like a taiva. Lechoyis atinoik b'shas shenim alala berkaya v'liyaz balabris b'zeh yesh smach l'dover b'medrash shoychetayv. The pasuk kol atzmoy say teimarno. Omer dover d'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ani m'shabeichecha b'chol ivorai u'mekayim b'mitzvahs ad barkai ani nasa santikus yilodu b'shach milo. So says the Binyan Tzion, and the whole Makar to Sandakos is this Medrash. So if you're going to Machavek with Priya, with the Tzipurim, Machavek with Sandakos, and everybody makes a tumult, this is Minig Yisrael, Torah, it's part and parcel of our Mesorah of Yiddishkeit, that to be a Sandak at a Brisk is a very big deal. People give it to Chshuvim and to parents, people they want it. It's a tremendous covet. So the bottom line is that it's no less a Makar. So just like no one would be Mevatel Sandakos, how can you be Mevatel doing Priya with a Tzipurim? Fascinating. I'll tell you something else interesting. That is that Tzvi Hersh Chayes, was asked a very, very similar shaila. Same shaila, doesn't mention the doctor in Paris, but a very similar shaila. Is it okay to do Priya with a Keli, or does it have to be done dafka with a Tzipurim? And he has a similar tshuva, very similar tshuva. There's some nuances, Ayin Shom. If you want to take a look, I think it's Simon Samachin in Maratzchias. Shaila's tshuva is Maratzchias. But the bottom line is that Simon Samach. But one of the things he says at the end, he says he digresses from Priya B'Tzipoyrin to Metzitza B'Peh. So I'll read it to you inside. Ubinyan ha-Metzitza anhu ge'etzleinu B'Peh. Ubiyameinu recently himtziu ha-roifim eza samim ashamayol kamay ha-Metzitza. So he says, is that okay? Do you have to do Metzitza B'Peh? So it says, B'Tzvi ha-Shchayes, kvar hoi rezokin ha-goyin moifes ador ra-moyshe soifrezal of Bezden Prezburg. Also known as the Chassam Sofer. Kimoich Ro'isi Nitfas B'Shmoy B'Sfarim Chadoshim Ki Ikra Metzitza Rak Mishum Sakon. The Chassam Sofer said that the real purpose of Metzitza is Mishum Sakona. Like the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Hay Umna Delei Mayet Sakantu Mavir Noisei. If a Moel doesn't want to do Metzitza B'Peh, you see it was a topic back then, even in the Gemara. So an Umin, a Roifi that doesn't want to do Metzitza Mavir Noisei, why? In the Gemara says, Kos Sakona. So he said, I've seen printed B'Shem Dech Sam Sofer, that Kol Sheyesh Lonu Derech Achara Shenifcham B'Nesayin, Ki Moel Bohosra Sakona, Kamoya Metzitza. It doesn't necessarily have to be done Dafka B'Peh. So Kiyadua, whether the Chassam Sofer really said this or not, it's very controversial. Ram Shik held that Chassam Sofer, but they ain't come a koy melaharich way above my pay grade. But the bottom line is this: says the Maratzchius at the end, v'chei ruchach, I have a raya that Metzitza doesn't have to be done dafke b'peh. Mi divrei hayalkit kapitol aminei the choshev kol ayvarim asha oisem emitzvus. Because David HaMelech goes through all the ayvarim that he mitzvus. And how many times was Mila mentioned in that medrash? He said, we do you have the tzipayrin to do the priya, you have the gid to do the mila and the priya, you have the rekayim for the sandakos. Why didn't David HaMelech mention that he does mitzitza b'peh? When he mentioned piv, he could have stayed on the topic of mila, and he could have mentioned mitzitza b'peh. He says, vayis tois, it doesn't have to be b'peh. The whole idea is just lahasra asakana, and being that it's lahasra asakana, it's not something that necessarily has to be done. And then he says something, we'll end with this, and that is that he mentions that, you know, there's a mechabin ramah, the last sivkot in Shulchan Aruch, and the Hilchas Mila discusses a very interesting minhag. Once upon a time, there were two moilim at a bris. And one moil would do the Mila, another moil would do the Priya. So they were mechabed one moil with the Mila, another moil with the Priya. But Yosef says that you shouldn't do that on Shabbos. So a Mila, b'Shabbos, which of course is Daicha Shabbos, but you shouldn't have two moilim on Shabbos. And the reason is because Mila involves Chil Shabbos. And as a result, you don't want to have a moil do a chatzi mitzvah that's going to be Deicha Shabbos. So if you're going to do the entire mitzvah to be Deicha Shabbos that I hear, but to do a chatzi mitzvah, to do the chaticha sa'arlo, which clearly involves chil Shabbos, That's why Mila Shaloi Bezmane is not Toicha Shabbos. So to do a Chaticha Sa'arlo without being Mekayim the Mitzvah, because Mo V'loi Paras Kilu Loi Mo, we don't want that. So if you're going to do the Chaticha Sa'arlo, you have to do the Pri as well. Because we want you to complete the Mitzvah, because only if you're completing the Mitzvah is a Toicha Shabbos. So even though there was this Minig Yisrael that there were two Mailim, there was one Mail that did the Mila, one Mail that did the Pri, stating that, says the B'si Yosef, brought down Shulchan Aruch, the last of cotton in Hilchas Mila, not to do it on Shabbos. The Ramah argues. The Ramah says it's okay. You get one Mail could do the Mila, one Mail could do the Priya, even on Shabbos. And even though you're not finishing the mitzvahs, you don't have the Tchia, doesn't matter. As long as you're doing part of it, that's going to be okay. You know what the Ramah's Raya is? Kachdim. His Raya is because they used to do the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And a Kohen would get up and he would do the Shechita. Even though Shechita was only part of the Avoidah, he had to do Kabbalah, Hilacha, and Zrika. Still, we know there was a Gairol the way it always was, and the Kohen that did the Shechita was Lav Dafka, the one that was going to do the Kabbalah, Hilacha, Zrika. There's even a Tumal if a Zar was able to do the Shechita on Shabbos. But Rashi, Perek Arba Achi, Yivam Islam, and Gimel Lamed Beis, right, we've spoken about. But the point is that you didn't need one Kohen to do the Shechita Kabbalah, Hilacha, Zrika. Ay, how could I do the Shechita? It's only a Chatzi Avoidah. The Teretz is, it's true it's only a Chatzi Avoidah. But we're assuming that you're going to Firoz the Avoidah. And being that it's part of an Avoidah, Zebes said that. It's something that's okay. So it's the same thing, says the Ramah. You're right, Chituch Ha'orla is not the entire Maisa Mila, but it's part of the Mila, and being that it's part of the Mila, Mila itself is Deicha Shabbos, it's for that reason it's going to be okay. The Maisa, so the Rebbe Tzvi Hashchaya says that, you know, the minute today is that people don't have two Mila, they have three Mila. It's fascinating. They have one Mila would do the Mila, another Mila would do the Priya, and then they would mechabit somebody to do the Mitzitza. And he says that he heard that in the Kehila of Brod, on Shabbos, they follow the Beis Yosef, and they don't have not three, not two, they only have one. That they only have what? And he says he doesn't really understand because the Ma'aser Halacha is like the Ramah. But then he said he heard that there are kehilas that on Shabbos they do two. And they knock out the one person that's going to do Mitzitza. So the Mechabit two as opposed to three brings what the Midik in Zonkeva was. That's where he was rough. But the bottom line is that he says that he heard that there are places with, that follow the Ramah. So yes, two Ma'alim, but not three. Not three. They take out the mitzitza, and he's mamish matmiya. He says, because mitzitza is the one you have the least concern about. Because mitzitza is all about sakana. And being that mitzitza is all about sakana, so sakana certainly, hutshu, this is a question of pekuach nefesh. So he says, you want to tell me, you want to go mamish like the Beis Yosef? I hear. I mean, that's something I can't, you know, even though we paskal like the Ramah, and the Ramah said it's okay, but you want to take on a chumrah, you want to follow, even in an Ashkenazi shtetl, the minhag of the Beis Yosef, okay, I hear. I'm not going to be goyer on that. But to go like the Ramah, to have two, but to say on Shabbos we're drawing the line, we're not going to have three, we're not going to allow someone to get up and do the mitzitza, that's a calling out soul on Shabbos. That's a question of sakana. Dovah Mishum sakana. There's no question of Deicha Shabbos. Regardless, we have talked away in this Mishnah. Who would have thunk it? So you have a Mishnah that mentions Malak Besakin Posel, which is discussing Halach of Malika. Bottom line is that from this Mishnah, the Aruch Laner felt there was a makar to this kpeda to do priya dafka with a tzipayr. Either way, Zokta Gemara, Amar Rav, Rav said, Smol Velayla, Ein Metamin Bebeis Habliya. So if the Malika was done with the left hand, or if it was done at night, it's not Metamin Bebeis Habliya. Zor, Vesakin, and for Zor, or some other puzzle, did the Malika, or if the Malika was done with a Sakin, so then it's so bad that it even has Tumas Nevela. It's Metamin Bebeis HaBliya. Says the Gemara, Maishno Smol, the Islech Sheir B'Yom Kippur. What's the reason that Smol is not Metamin Bebeis HaBliya? It's because it's Psule Bakoitish. And like we spoke out, it's Im Olu Lo Yerdu. And being that the Malika works with regards to Im Olu Lo Yerdu, it's considered a Malika with regards to that it shouldn't be Metamin Bebeis HaBliya. Now, why is Smoil Im Olu Lo Yerdu? It's because we find in another place that you could do Avodah with your left hand. And once there's Islei Hechsheira B'Makom Acher, that's enough of a reason to say that it's going to be Im Olu Lo Yerdu. What's the Makom Acher that Smoil is Islei Hechsheira? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they used to use the left hand. The K'tiris on Yom Kippur involved both hands. Rashi says, Notal as a machtabi amina, ves hakaf besmoila. So being that the Kohen Gadol had to use his left hand, it's for that reason that you find this Slei Hechsheira b'makom acher, and that's why it's a Malu Yerdu, that's why it's not Metam b'Veis Abli. Laila also is Slei, where do you find Avoida b'Laila? That's easy. Beivar u'Ptorim. All Haktorah was done at night. Zor nami, frek the Gemara, Slei Hechsheira b'Shchita.
But if that's the case, why did Rav say Zor v'sakin mitamim v'sabliya? Which would suggest Imalu yerdu. L'chayra Zor also has a chshera b'makam achar, which should make it Imalu lo yerdu. So as it relates to an oif, it should not be mitamim v'sabliya. And where do you find Zor? You find Zor b'shchita. Zor could do shchita. True, he can't do malika, but it's Islayach Sheirah B'makam Acher. Zok to Gemara, Shechita Lav Avoidei. That's not Islayach Sheirah B'makam Acher. Islayach Sheirah means there's a place where you could do Avoidei Balayla. There's a place where there's an Avoidei that was done B'smile. The fact that a Zor could do Shechita doesn't mean you found an example where a Zor could do Avoidei. To the contrary, Shechita Lav Avoidei. But the Gemara says, V'loy, is that true? And this is a repeat of Zvachim daf yudal ramad beis. But Rab Zeir said shchitas para bizar psula. This week's parasha that Zor was not allowed to do shchita of the para aduma. Machvi Rav Allah. The reason is Allah v'chukah, because it says Allah and it says chukah. So everything that it says in the beginning of parasha's chukas is lakit. But the bottom line is, if you see that a Zor can't do shchita with the para aduma, doesn't that suggest that shchita is an avoida? Otherwise, why would there be a kpeda for a Zor to do it? The Gemara says shani par the kachabeta gabaisi. Are you bringing Uriah from par? Para Adum is not Kachem Mizbech, even though it looked like Kachem Mizbech, it felt like Kachem Mizbech, right? You shechted it, there were hazois, but it wasn't done in the Makam HaMikdash, it was done in Harabayis, it was done on Harazesim, it was done in the Haramishcha, Noichach Pnei Olamai, but it wasn't actually done in the Beis HaMikdash. Being that it wasn't done in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not even Kachem Mizbech, it was never born in the Mizbech, it's Kachem Bedekabayis. Kachem Bedekabayis, a whole other story, but the Gemara says, like, Kolchkeinu, Kachem Bedekabayis, Boy, Kuna, Kachem Mizbech, Mimbay, Madoch the Shechita that you find by Kachem Bedekabayis, is that it requires Koyen, then certainly Kachem Mizbeach should require Koyen, meaning certainly Kachem Mizbeach should be Avoida. So the Gemara says, you're right, but Amar Avshesh Shabredi Ravidi, Midi Dehava Amaris Nagam, Lav Avoidei Bayikuna. Meaning, just because something requires Koyen doesn't necessarily mean it's an Avoida. It's true. The Shechita of the Para Aduma requires Koyen. So from that standpoint, it would be logical to say that Shechita is an Avoida. And even though Shechita is Ksher Bizar, it doesn't mean it's not an Avoida. To the contrary, you have a Hechatimtzah where a Zor is allowed to do Avoida, which should make it a Malu Lo Yeridu, which should make it not be Metama Tuma Beis Ablir. But the Gemara says no. The reason Shechita is Ksher Bizar is because Shechita is really Lav Avoida. So there is no example of where a Zor is able to do Avoida. You can do Shechita, Shechita Lav Avoida. I have Shechita Lav Avoida. Why do you need a Koyen for Shechita's Par Aduma? So the Gemara says, Mida Dehavi Amaris Negad. Don't you need a Koyen in Parashas Tazria Metzaira? You need a Koyen for Tumas Negan? Just because you need a Koyen doesn't by definition mean that it's an Avoida. Bottom line is, Shechita Lav Avoida. Shechita Lav Avoida, there's no example of where you find that a Zor is able to do Shechita. Therefore, it's an Olu Yerdu, and therefore, it's going to be Metam Atum Bevei Sabli. But the Gemara says, V'nelof Mibam. I still have an example where a Zor is able to do an Avoida. It's true, not Shechita. But I have an example where a Zor is able to do an Avoida. But on the Bamas. So why don't we say that it's so again, it shouldn't be metame bebeis abliyah. So the Gemara says, "Mibama loyal." If you can't learn from Bala, Rashi says, "The bama kechoil he legabi mikdash." Nice lashon Rashi. Bama relative to mikdash is like chol. That's not considered islay echsher b'makom acher. But the Gemara says, "Veloy, is that true?" But time we went to the Brisa, "Minay liyotzei shem alu yerdu." How do you know if part of the carpet became sul yotzei that loch is a malu yerdu? So the Gemara says, Shari Yoitze, Kosh of a bomb. And now you know that? Because Yoitze is, there's no psul Yoitze by a bomb. Why not? There's no mechitzes by a bomb. But the bottom line is that you see from there that the fact that something is Isle Hechsher of a bomb is a reason to say, and Malula Yerdu. Say the same thing regarding the Zar. So the Gemara says, Tana Azayis Teres Oila Samachle. The real reason that there's Malula Yerdu by psul Yoitze is not because it's Kosh of a bomb. The real reason is because of a Pasik Zayis Teres Oila. The Derech Agav, the Gemara just mentions like a remez, but it's not the real Makar. Because you can't use Islay Hechsher Bebama as a real Makar. So what's the bottom line? Rav Shita is that if a Zor would do Malika, the halach is it would be Tomei Tumas Beis Abliya. It's like an Ein Psulei Bakoidesh. And the reason is because the halacha would be if a Zor would do Malika, it would be an Olu Yerdu. Because you don't find anywhere that a Zor could do Avoida, it's less like Shair B'makam Acher. I have two examples where a Zor could do Avoida. A Zor could do Shechita. That's not Avoida. Shechita Lav Avoida. A Zor could do Avoida on a Bama. Yeah, Bama, Klape Mikdash. That's like Chulin. That's like saying a Zor could check Chulin. That's not considered Islay Hechsher B'makam Acher. Therefore, the halach is it's going to be Tomei Tumas Beis Abliya. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Rabbi Yechanan argued with Rav. Zor ain't Metama Beis Abliya. It's only Sakin that's Metama Beis Abliya. Rabbi Yechanan argued. He said that a Zor is not Metama Beis Abliya. In essence, we have a machloik is Rav and Rav Yechanan, where the Zohar that does Malika is a metame beveis abliya, is a metame, not metame beveis abliya. Great to Gemara, Tana, we learned in our Mishnah, what was the first line of the Mishnah? Kol hapsulin shem molku, Malika asam psula. Bishlem of the Rav Yechanan, the Bishlem according to Rav Yechanan, kol asuye zohar. I understand why it says God. It's even coming to be marba zohar. El the Rav, kol asuye mai. What's it coming to be marba? So the Gemara says, la suye smol velayla. Meaning, what did the Rashi of the Mishnah say? Kol hapsulin shem molku, Malika asam psula, and it's not metame beveis abliya. So isn't it a mefurish Mishnah? Now it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't ask from the fact that it's a mefurish Mishnah. I mean, really, it's a mefurish Mishnah. Kol ha-psulin. What does kol ha-psulin mean? It means all the psulim. Usually it's a reference to the first Mishnah of the second parak that talks about the oinin and the yoshev and the zar and the whole list of psulim that are not allowed to do avodas. They can't do Kabbalah Elah Chazrika, they could do Shchita, and now the Mishnah is saying they can't do Malika, and not only can't they do Malika, but it's not going to be Tamei Bebeis Abliya. But it seems to be a Mefurish Mishnah. Kala Psulin Shemokum Likasam Psula, Ve'ina Metamei Bebeis Abliya. And you would think that's the Gemara's Kasha, but it's not the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara's asking for the word Kol. Kol is Lasuye. Isn't it coming Lasuye Zar? So the Kerenayer asks the Kasha. Why didn't the Gemara just ask from the Mishnah? And the Kerenayer says, because the Mishnah itself, you can think, is maybe referring to a Tamei. A tummy that does the avoda, for sure the halach is going to be a malula yerdu, and for sure the halach is going to be that it's not metame beveis abliya. And the reason is because a tummy is islay achsher b'makom achar. So without the word koil, had it just said psulin, I would have thought that it's referring to tmeya. But being that it says kol, and kol is la suye, so certainly it's coming to be marba all the other psulin, such as the zar and the oinein, etc. So it's a riot to Rabbi Yechanan, it's a kasha to Rav. Again, bishlam the Rabbi Yechanan, kol la suye zar, el Rav, kol la suye mai. So the Gemara says la suye smol v'laylo. You know it's coming to be marba, not people that are physically possible, but if it was done in a way of psul, it was done with the left hand, the linkan, or it was done at night, but the Gemara says small v'leilu behedik tani. That's mentioned beforeish in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says tani v'hadam mefarish. It's true. The Mishnah first said it as a remez, kol l'rames laila and smile, and then we explained what we were merames for previously. We mentioned explicitly small v'leilu. The Gemara says toshma here. So you have no raya from the Mishnah, but I think the beginning of the Mishnah. But I think you have a raya from the end of the Mishnah. Say a kol kol shayim psulim b'kodesh any metam begalim beveis abliya. Right. The rule of the end of the Mishnah was that anything that's psulim b'kodesh is not metam beveis abliya. Bishlam the Rabbi Yechanan. Again, it says kol. Say a klal is always coming to be marba something. Lasu yezar. It's coming to be marba zar. That a zar, who you would have thought maybe is not psulei b'kodesh, it's considered psulei b'kodesh, and it's not metama begodim abeis abliya. Elo lirav la'asuye mai. So the Gemara says, ulitameich, according to you, what are you going to be marber from the sefer? Just like there was a zeh klal and a kol in the resha, you had a zeh klal in the sefer as well. It said, shaloi hayu psulei b'kodesh. That loch is, it's metama beveis abliya. What's that coming to be marber? Elo resha las, must be resha's la'asuye shchitas kochim b'fnim. It's coming lasuye if you would shech an oif kotshim bifnim. So as opposed to doing malika, you would shech it. Sefer lasuye malika schulim b'chotz. It's coming to be marba malika schulim b'chotz. In the resha, it's not metame b'beis abliya, and the sefer is metame b'beis abliya. So that those two things sound similar to what the Mishnah discussed, but it's not what the Mishnah discussed. The Mishnah had discussed shachat chulim bifnim, shachat kotshim b'chotz, molak chulim bifnim, and molak kotshim b'chotz. Here we're discussing shchitas kachim b'fnim and melikas chulim b'chutz. The bottom line is shchitas kachim b'fnim. The halacha is it's psulei b'kodesh. The halacha is it's not metame beveis abliya. Melikas chulim b'chutz is ain't psulei b'kodesh, and therefore it is metame beveis abliya. Tanya kavasei to Rabbi Yochanan, or aye to Rabbi Yochanan, that a zar that does the melika, it is not metame beveis abliya. Molka zar, if a zar did a malika, molka pasul, or any pasul for that matter did a malika, hapikul v'anoysev atame, ein metame beveis abliya. It's a mefurish arayah. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, shamati shtayim. I heard two things. Achas kmitza zar, achas malika zar. One regarding kmitza zar, and the other one regarding malika zar. Achas terid, by one of them the loch is terid, achas loy terid. And by the other one the loch is loy terid. V'lo yadana, and I'm not sure which one is terid and which one is loy terid. Om achiskiyas, it's mistabra that kmitza terid, malika loy terid. That by kmitza the loch is going to be teired, but by Malika the halacha is going to be loy teired. Says the Gemara, why? Maishna Malika the Yeshna Babama. Why do you think that Kmitza should be? Why do you think that Malika should be loy teired? Because it's Isla Hechsher B'Makamacha. and im olu layerdu is related to islay hechsher b'makam acher. What's this makam acher with islay hechshera? Yeshna b'bama. You could do malika on a bama. Kmitzanami yeshna b'bama. You could do kmitz on a bama. Just like you could bring an oif on a bama, you could bring a mincha on a bama as well. So kmitza has the same yeshna b'bama that malika has. V'chitem, you're going to tell me ain mincha b'bama, and if you're going to tell me that there aren't this tana holds, there's no mincha b'bama, then for the same price in oifas nami b'bama, you have to hold there's no oifas b'bama. Damar Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes already said la divrei yomi yesh mincha b'bama yesh oifas b'bama, and la divrei yomi ain mincha ain oifas. The two are tali zeb. If there's mincha b'bama, there's oifas b'bama, and if there's no mincha, there's no oifas. My time, zvachim v'loy menachas. It says in the Torah, when the Torah talks about bringing karbanos on a b'bama, vayizbechu zvachim shlomim l'ashem par. It says the word zvachim. So either you darshan zvachim, then it's loy oifas and loy menachas, or you don't darshan zvachim. And then you have oifas and you have menachas. But l'chura, you can't have it both ways. So manashach, how could you distinguish and differentiate between a mincha and between a knife? Ela, eima, ein, kiddush b'klisharis b'mincha b'bama. Malika is the same whether the malika is done on a bama or the malika is done on a mizbeach. It's a knife that was kachin. You do the malika with your fingernail. In one case, you're doing it, you're being makivin on a mizbeach. In the other case, you're being makivin on a bama. But the mincha is fundamentally different if you do the mincha in the makam hamikdash or if you do it on a bama. If you do it in the makam hamikdash, you had to have a klisharis. The kmitz is being done from a klisharis. If you do it on the mizbeach or on a bama, there's no klisharis involved. Being that there's no klisharis involved, therefore, you don't necessarily need a kohen. It's a different type of malika. For that type of malika, it's going to be okay. But if that type of kmitza is going to be okay. So this malika of a bama and the malika of the mizbeach are the same malika. Thus, we view it as islay hechsher b'magamach. As opposed to the kmitza of a bama and the kmitza of the mizbeach are not the same kmitzas. Being that they're not the same kmitzas, one is from a klisharis, one is not from a klisharis. It's for that reason we don't look at it as islay hechsher.
In the previous Raid Bite, we discussed the end of Sefer Shmuel, where God HaChoyza reveals himself to David HaMelech, and he tells David, I want you to buy the field of Aravna HaYavusi, Aravna the Jebusite, and it's on that field that I want you to build a Mizbeach, and I want you to bring Karbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we went through, based on Rambams and Psukim, that event of God HaChoyza telling David HaMelech to buy that field wasn't just a one-off event, but really it was coming full circle for something that is expressed over 20 times in the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when the Yidden are going to enter Eretz Canaan, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a place where I am going to identify one makom in the land that should be the makom asher yivchar. That's going to be, as we discuss, my house, and it's there that I want you to bring karbonos moving forward. It's there that I'm going to want you to come visit me 3 times a year. Sefer Melachim picks up exactly where Sefer Shmuel ends off, and that is with David HaMelech's son Shlomo going and not just bringing karbonos on the goyrin of Aravna HaYavusi, but he actually builds a Beis HaMikdash, takes him years to build, and the time finally arrives for all the Yidden to come from all over the world and to celebrate in the inauguration this very, very monumental event, the Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash. And in Perek Ches, the Pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech is in the Beis HaMikdash. He's standing in front of the Mizbeach, Neged Kol Kal Yisrael, in the presence of literally all the Jews, Vayifrois Kap of Hashamayim. And then he lifts his hands up to the heavens, Vayoymar, and he says a tefillah. He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says that I want this place to be a place, it's a tefillah, that if a Yid would ever come and would daven, you would listen to his tefillos. Ufanisa el tefillos avdecha ve'el tchinasei Hashem alekai l'shmaya el arina ve'el atfila asha avdecha mispal lefanecha ayoy. That your eyes are going to be open to this place by night and by day. This is the place that you told David HaMelech you want to rest your Shechinah. And then he goes on and starts describing different tefillahs that Yidden made daven. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please answer those tefillahs. Says, for example, if there's going to be a Yid that's going to sin, and he's going to want slicha, promise me Hashem, that if he comes to this place, he comes to the Mokum HaMikdash that you are going to answer his tefillah. He says, if there's ever going to be a time in history where Heyotzer HaShemayim V'lo Yeh Matar, there's going to be a famine, and people are going to be starving, the crops aren't going to be growing. If Yidden come and they daven here, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking you, I'm begging of you, tell me that if they daven here, you're going to answer their tefillah. He said, Rav Kiyeh Ba'aretz, Dever Kiyeh. What if there's a Magefa? There's going to be a time where people are dying, and they're not going to know where to turn. They're not going to know what to do. I'm begging from you, Hashem, if the Yidden are going to come and they're going to daven here, promise me that you're going to answer their tefillah. If someone's going to have someone in their family that's not well, kol nega and kol machla, and they're going to go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to say, I can't help you. Promise me that if they come to this place, right here, the Makom HaMikdash, that you're going to answer their tefillah. And he goes on and on and on. There's going to be a war, and there's going to be Yidden that are going out into battle, and they're going into harm's way, and they're going to be scared, and they're going to be nervous, and maybe the odds are going to be stacked against them. Promise me, says Shlomo HaMelech, that if they're going to come to this place and they're going to daven, you're going to answer their tefillah. He goes on and on. It's 50 plus psukim of Shlomo HaMelech thinking of any tefillah that a Yid may ever daven in his lifetime that would come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he would daven for in this place. And he says, Hashem, I'm asking you one thing, that if the tefillah happens here, please listen. It was a big ask. It was a big ask. Shlomo HaMelech was never told that this is what the Beis HaMikdash was going to be. Beis HaMikdash was a place where the Yidden would bring karbonis. Beis HaMikdash was a place where they would come, the Eil Regel, three times a year. Shlomo HaMelech raised the ante. Shlomo HaMelech goes out on a limb and he says, Eivishn, I'm asking you, make this place a makom tefillah. Make this a place that if a Yid comes and davens, al kol tzara shaloi tavoi, 50 psukim of description of what that tzara might look like, that you are going to answer. And Shlomo HaMelech finishes his tefillah, and he waits, and the Yidden are standing around him, and they're waiting, and there's a deafening silence in the room. And then all of a sudden, the pasuk says, Vayera Hashem el Shlomo Sheinis. Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself for the second time to Shlomo HaMelech. Kashinira Elo Begivon. Years earlier, Kadosh Baruch Hu had revealed himself to Shlomo HaMelech. That was the first time. This is the second time. Vayomer Hashem Elov, and Hashem tells Shlomo, Shemati es tfiloscha ves tchinoscha asher hizchananto lefonai. I heard your tfilos. Hiktashti es habayis hazeh. I was mekadesh this bayis. Asher bonisa that you built. Losum shmi sham adoylam. Vahayu einai velibi sham kalayam. You asked, and I answered. You asked that if at any time in the future a Yid is going to come and a Yid's going to daven and he's going to ask for something, I should listen to his tefillah. That this should be a place that will have a special koich tefillah that no other place in the world has. Granted. You go through these psukim. I can't go through all these psukim right now. They're very, very moving. But there's one idea that I think is worth mentioning. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was, V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. The Chasam Sofer, in one of his tshuvas about Eretz Yisrael, it's in Yerideya Simin Reish Lamed Aleph. The tshuva was written to Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. It's a tshuva that as a chabur we're going to go through more during the course of this trip. Discuss, what exactly does it mean, V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim? Specifically, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis asked the Chasam Sofer that the pasuk says regarding Eretz Yisrael, it's a Eretz Asher Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Meireishis Hashana Vad Achris Shana. The whole land, the whole country, is a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his eyes on. But it seems like the Makom HaMikdash is not just a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Einayim are affixed to, but it's Vayu Einai V'libi Sham Kol Hayamim. And Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis asked the Chasam Sofer, what's the difference between Einai and Einai V'libi? It sounds like the whole country is Eretz Asher Einai Hashem Elokecha Ba. But the Makom HaMikdash is V'hayu Einai V'libi Sham Kol Hayamim. And the Chasam Sofer writes back in this tshuva to Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, I'll tell you the truth. He says, years ago I heard a teretz. It was Alpi Kabbalah, and I don't really understand it. Imagine, Chasam Sofer is saying the teretz is above his pay grade. I'll tell you the words, and you can make of it whatever you want to make of it. But Lule de Mistafino, I think it's Kedai to Shtel Tzu, a Meshachachma. That's not just a classic Meshachachma, but it's a classic Ben Benoishel, classic Meshachachma, where a Meisimcha of Dvinsk literally addressed this point. We know that a Yid every day puts on tefillin. Tefillin Shal Yad, tefillin Shal Reish. The tefillin is made up of four parshiyas, right? What's inside the tefillin? There's four parshiyos of the Torah. Shema, Vayim Shemaya, Kadesh, Vayaki Viach. Four parshiyos in the Torah. That's what makes up the tefillin. Stating that, there's a difference between the tefillin shal roish and the tefillin shal yad. The tefillin shal roish has the four parashiyos in four batim. They're in four different compartments. The tefillin shal yad, all four parashiyos are in one bias. And Rabbi Simcha in Parshas Boy, on the mitzvah of tefillin, he says, why is it that the tefillin shal roish is made up of four batim, and the tefillin shal yad is made up of only one bias? Says Rabbi Simcha, I'll tell you pshat, al derech pnimiyos ha-Torah. Says the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechtas Brachos that just like the Yidden put on tefillin every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also puts on tefillin every day. We put on tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also puts on tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish. And the Gemara says, Hana tefillin demari alma maksiv be. What does it say in the Eveshtas tefillin? Our tefillin is Shema, Vayim Shemaya, Kadesh, Vayiki Viyacha. What does it say in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, you want to know what it says in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mi ka'amchi Yisrael ga'yachad ba'aretz. Ashrecha Yisrael am noisha b'ashem. The tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have parashiyas that talk about how amazing Klal Yisrael is. It's parashiyas that bring out how special we are and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us differently than he views all the other nations of the world. Says Rameh Simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shloima HaMelech, Vayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. What's the difference between einai v'libi? This is the question that Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis asked the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer said, the teretz I heard is a shtickle above my pay grade. Says Rameh Simcha, I'm going to tell you Pashim Shat. Einai means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm looking at you. It's a hashkocha pratis. Einai means, I have my eyes on you. I'm watching you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in the Makam HaMikdash, Einai, I am going to see you. I'm going to be watching you. Libi means that I'm going to care for you. I'm going to want you. I'm going to love you. Eretz Yisrael is a place that Einai Hashem Alekecha b'mereish Hashanah v'adach Hashanah. The Makam HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, was a place for you Einai v'libi sham kol hayam. Says Rameh Simcha, a person puts on tefillin shel roish, it should be on the mayach, like you say in the L'shem Yichud, if you say the L'shem Yichud. A person puts on tefillin shel yad, it should be keneged alev, as we say in the L'shem Yichud, if you say the L'shem Yichud. Says Rameh Simcha something incredible. He says that as it relates to the tefillin shel roish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it relates to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Einai, I'm watching the Yidden. Over there, Klal Yisrael is divided into four groups. Why four groups? Everybody knows that we take Dalad Minim on Sukkis to represent the four types of Yidden. You have the Min that has a Tam V'Reach, that represents the Tzaddik. You have the Min that has no Tam and no Reach, that represents the Rasha. And then there's Tam V'Reach, and there's Reach B'loi Tam. Says Rameh Simcha, the Yidden are divided into four groups. When it comes to the Ashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us, doesn't see all the Yidden the same way. How could he? If there's a Yid that's a Shoyim Torah Mitzvahs, and then there's a Yid that's not a Shoyim Torah Mitzvahs, it's impossible for them to be viewed as the same way. And that's why the Tefillin Shel Roish of the Eibishter, which is Keneged V'Hayu Einai, that's divided into four groups, because really, Hashem looks at the four types of Yidden in four different ways. But the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is Keneged the Lev, that represents the Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. Says Rameh Simcha, when it comes to the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, it makes no difference if you're the Tzaddik that has a Tam V'Reach, if you're the Rasha that has no Tam and no Reach, or if you have a Reach B'loi Tam and a Tam B'loi Reach, because we're all Banim L'Hashem Alekeichem. And Benkach U'Benkach Kruyim Banim. And being that Benkach U'Benkach Kruyim Banim, there's no four compartments. Every Yid is a Yid, because he's a Yid, and they're all the same, and that's why we don't divide the Yidden. When it comes to Hashkacha, says Rameh Simcha, we have no choice. We have to divide the Yidden. But when it comes to the Lev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to the Ahava, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, we're all the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And being that we're all the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter if what we're doing is right or if what we're doing is wrong. Sometimes the Ahava a parent could have for a child is greater if he's doing what's wrong than if he's doing what's right. Because absent sometimes makes the heart grow fonder. But the reality is, there's no four batim when it comes to the tefillin shel yad. Because the tefillin shel yad is keneged alev. That represents the ahava, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And when it comes to the ahava, benkach u'benkach kruyim banim, a yid is a yid is a yid. And as a result, we're all the same. Eretz Yisrael is a land that Enei Hashem Alekecha Ba Meireshes Hashanah Vad Achrishanah. A Yid that lives in Eretz Yisrael, there's a special Hashgacha. The Ramban talks about it throughout his Pirush Al HaTorah. We have several red bites on this topic. In Chutz La'aretz, we're underneath the Memshala of different intermediaries. The Hashgacha Pratis that a Yid has when he lives in Eretz Yisrael is different. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Ksubas, Kol Ador B'Chutz La'aretz, Doime Kemisha Ein Le'alika, because he doesn't have the same level of Hashgacha Pratis. And that's the idea of Eretz Asher Enei Hashem Alekecha Ba Meireshin Sashana Vadach Rishana. But Shloim HaMelech Davin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His tefillah was that when a Yid comes to this place, when a Yid comes to the Makom HaMikdash, and he davins, Ebishta, don't judge him. Don't look at if he's a Yid that has a tam v'reach. He's reach b'loy tam v'loy reach, or loy tam v'loy reach. You should look at a Yid because he's a Yid. And answer his tefillah. Whether his tefillah is because he did averis and he's asking for slicha. Whether his tefillah is because he doesn't have parnasa, there's a rab ba'aretz. Whether his tefillah is that there's a kol negan, there's a kol machla, and he's asking for a refuah. Whether his tefillah is he's about to go out to war and he's hoping that he's going to come back alive and he's going to be successful. Regardless of what his tefillah is, don't judge him. And the Eibishter turned to Shloima Melech. And the Eibishter said, your wish has been granted. Eretz Kenan, Eretz Yisrael as a whole, is Eretz Asher Enei Hashem Alekecha Ba. But Eretz Yisrael Befrat, when it comes to the Makom HaMikdash, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, over there it's going to be Enai V'Libi Shom Kol Hayamim. Over there, I promise you, Hashem tells Shloima Melech, I'm not just going to look, but I'm going to feel. I'm going to open up my heart. And over there, no one's going to be judged. Over there, it doesn't matter who you are. Ki beisi beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. For everybody, even for the Umay Sa'ilam, it's going to be a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll answer your tefila, regardless of your background and regardless of how you live your life and exactly who it is you are. But if you're medayik l'shoinei azov of the pasuk, what did David say? Vayu einai v'libi sham kol ha'yamim. We're not going to digress into lumdus now, but it's mavur in the Rambam in Perek Zayin Hilchas Beis Abchira, and it's mavur in the Ravid over there, and in the Nois Nekelim, that when Hashem said Kol Hayomim, what He meant to say was Kol Hayomim Ad Hayom Hazeh, regardless of whether the Makom HaMikdash has Kedusha today, doesn't have Kedusha today, you could go on the Har HaBayis, you can't go on the Har HaBayis, has nothing to do with this conversation. Here, the Eibishter could not have been more clear. Vayu Einai V'Libi Sham Kol Hayomim. I think it's Pashit. Every Yid comes to the Kaisel. Every Yid comes to the Makom HaMikdash. And he feels different. There's just something a little bit different. And if I may, I think he feels like he belongs here. He just feels like he belongs. People come, they put on their pop-up yarmulkes and they start crying and they start davening like they've never davened in their lives. It's a real feeling. It's a real feeling because this is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart is open. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart is open, it's a place where the Eibishter promised Shloima HaMelech, V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim, ki shamati es tfiloscha ves tchinosa asher es chananta lefonai, hiktashti es abayis hazeh asher bonisi losum shmi sham ad oilom, V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. This has nothing to do with what was. This has nothing to do with what will be. This is the way it is right now. Today, in Golos, today, Kifin Golas, in a world of Anoichi Aster Haster Panei Bayoimahu, in a world where maybe we're all judging each other too much, but this is a place where Eibishter is not judging anybody. This is a place where we're all in one bias. It's a place for you, Eina V'libi Sham Kol Hayamim. We should be Zoicha that all our tefillahs here in the Makom HaMikdash should be answered, and we should be Zoicha to have the Shechina come down where it's going to be Begolui B'mehir B'yameinu Amen.